This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Good to see you, bud.
Likewise.
Doing all right?
I'm okay. 844-SAY-ACCN, you left out, is the number for the show.
Sure.
That's okay. We're good.
Busy show.
It is a busy show. We have an announcement to make. Once again, the power brokers in the Atlantic Coast Conference, the headquarters in Greensboro, have bestowed upon us, again, we're perfect. We are batting 1,000. Not one time have we been given information at least 24 hours in advance where it has somehow gotten out on social media, whispered down the hallway, rumor has it. We've never, ever screwed it up.
Well, not when we get information here and go down a hallway, we're going to your kitchen. We're going to your...
Well, that's all right.
Going to your basement, bathroom.
The way social media works, it's like, hey, rumor has it.
Somebody
sources tell us.
Yeah.
You know, somebody slaps up something against the wall. But at 9:45 this morning, we have a big announcement.
Do we need to tell people what we're going to announce? Or
yes.
Do we wait?
Right now.
We're going to announce at 9:45 the 2021 ACC Football Legends class. All 14 institutions will have a representative in Charlotte for the ACC Championship football game presented by Subway and be featured in the ACC Honors Special that will air in mid-December.
And it is a very impressive list.
Yeah, we had one a couple of years ago in 2020. Is that right? No, 19. We didn't have one in 20. We had one in 2019 that was pretty unbelievable. Brian Dawkins, D'Angelo Hall, Julius Peppers.
It was awesome.
This one is
really good.
Right there.
Yep.
So, looking forward to it.
9:45.
Yep.
All right, before we start, because hoops gets underway this afternoon and tonight, and I can probably make the case that maybe the best game of the day and night could be number one South Carolina at number five NC State in women's basketball.
I know
Coach K's got Kentucky later tonight.
Sure.
We've got games. We're getting all that stuff. We have football in the brain. We've got accounting today.
Yep.
Wide receiver U announcement.
Yep.
See who wins on that bad boy. The fans have voted. Great guests. All that good stuff. But before we do... I received a package yesterday. You know, I like
the handwritten note.
I like the handwritten note.
All right, what do we got?
Chester, it's okay. Chester was out. Chester was lost this morning.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
He was at the door.
Yeah, okay. All right, Ken Mitta, I'm going to give you this. I've not opened these up.
Hi, Ken. Here. Welcome.
Here. You always like the gifts.
Ken is from Panama City Beach, Florida.
Yeah. He says, what's up, Pac-Man?
Pac-Man.
Just wanted to say hello. And let you know I watch you and Wes every morning to get my day started.
Thank you.
I'm probably one of just a few that have an undergraduate degree from Elon.
Yeah, you do.
Along with a master's degree from Clemson. You guys were talking about old school football a few days ago, so I thought you guys might would like
Fuller,
some
this
old
is not food.
Well, he thinks it is. You might like some old school paraphernalia. Tell Wes, though, it's tough to get anything with just Elon College. Anymore. Anyhow, enjoy this, my friend. Ken Mitta. So, Ken, thank you for the note. Thank you for the gifts.
I'm going to guess that's the Clemson.
I have no idea.
I don't either. Might want to switch certs here in a second.
All right, look and see what you got.
Oh, no. I got this. I got the old school Fighting Christians. Yep. They changed nicknames a few years ago. But when I was in school, it was Elon College and the Fighting Christians. There you go.
Nice. And you got in?
Barely, but I'm in, yeah. I'm in.
All right, here you go.
Look at that.
All white on you.
Wow. Look at the old school Tiger.
That's it.
That's the old school Tiger who used to be on top of the scoreboard.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ken.
Ken, nice job.
Appreciate you.
We always appreciate good gifts.
Yeah, man.
Whether it be brown water or T-shirts, we're in.
That's it. Thanks, Ken.
Appreciate the handwritten note
PCB.
As well. There it is.
Listening down there on the Gulf this morning.
Elon / Clemson combo. That's an unusual
pretty good. Undergrad Elon.
Kind of like this show.
How about that, huh? Don't get that much. Pat Narduzzi coming up, by the way, in 10 minutes. We'll talk to the coach of the Pitt Panthers. Sizable game Thursday night. Starts our weekend football coverage on ESPN.
You know what I want to touch base with Coach about?
Hmm.
You know, Monday Night Football, Pittsburgh was hosting last night.
They were, Heinz Field.
Can you imagine, I mean, given the setup that Pitt's got, they've got Steelers on one side of the room, they're on the other side of the room. I can only imagine that you have a Monday night game, right?
Right.
Then you have a Thursday game this week. they host. I can't only imagine how active the building was this past couple days.
Yeah, the UPMC Sports Center, Athletic Center, which Freddie Fu, who passed away earlier this fall, by the way, was part of the real inspiration with the Rooney family in doing that, right? This practice facility where if you walk out the back of the practice facility, there are, I want to say, 3 100-yard fields, maybe more, because there's a turf one. And you get, at times, not often, at times, you'll have the Steelers on one third of the field and Pittsburgh on the other third.
That's cool.
It is. And then the buildings are split. And now during the pandemic, it's probably been more restricted. But the buildings are split. They're two separate buildings. They're closed. But there are times when the Steelers and the Panthers cross-populate a little bit. And the indoor facility is back across the other side of the parking lot. It's a great setup. And it, the first time I heard about it, I thought, huh, I wonder how that works. And then when you go and see it, you're like, oh, I get it. And it's awesome. Now, is it a recruiting advantage? Absolutely. Paul Chris told me when he was there, he goes, it was one of the real benefits in our process was that the Steeler players embrace the mentoring, if you will, with some of the Pittsburgh
players. Why wouldn't it be?
Players. Yeah.
You got to use it as an advantage.
Yeah.
Have to.
Absolutely. So, but yeah, you talk about UPMC Sports Center being active this week, Heinz Field being active. And this is the time of year, too, where turf gets a little tricky at Heinz Field, the grass field that they play on there. Not field turf in Pittsburgh. No, sir. We play the game as it was intended.
The way it should be.
That's right.
On grass.
That's it.
I'm with you on that.
So, Pat Narduzzi here in a few minutes. Eric McClain, 8 o'clock. In case you missed Dave Doran, we'll also have that for you in the first hour as well. Hubert Davis at 8:30. Mm-hmm. His team takes the floor tonight as the head coach of the Tar Heels, named in early April. And Clara Robbins, Florida State, will join us in the 9 o'clock hour.
And if you watched the Best of the Weekend segment yesterday, she was on it with a just remarkable goal as Florida State won their 8th ACC women's soccer tournament in the last 11 years.
Yep.
And nine ladies teams in the NCAA tournament, 3 number one seeds. We keep telling you, men's, women's soccer, ridiculously great in this league. Sensational.
News of the day, however, is over in volleyball.
How about that? Katie, if you see Katie George walking down the street today, and you say, hey, Katie, coveted invite, how you doing? And she does this. We're number one.
That's right.
You'll understand why.
The Fighting Katie Georges are number one in the country.
Yep.
Coach Danny Busboom Kelly's Louisville Cardinals, first ACC team to earn a number one ranking in the history of the conference. Congratulations to the Cards.
You know, and Pitt's right there, too.
Mm-hmm.
We've had
really good volleyball in the ACC.
That's why when we did Notepad for the month of October, that was my number one game of the month, was Pitt-Louisville.
That's it. It
was 2-4 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. So congratulations to the ladies.
Yep.
Well done. Outstanding.
The NCAA.
Ha!
What?
For sale. There's a for sale sign.
The NCAA has a new deal. They have a new constitution of sorts. We're still sorting through it.
What is the new deal? We quit? Is that what it is? We're just going to let you guys figure it out?
Essentially, they've reduced the Board of Governors from 21 to what, 6, 7?
Whatever.
And the other thing that's happened in this process is that they have now created governance structures for each level, Division 1, Division 2, Division 3. And put a lot of power basically in the hands of the conferences. And it's not rock solid. In fact, I said to Mark right before we started, I have questions, but really the only person I think we can ask the questions to is the commissioner, because he was in the room when they were kind of in that formulation stages. So I'd like to know kind of what the thinking is, the short-term situations and some of these long-term situations, because on paper – It looks hard. It looks difficult.
It looks hard. No, it doesn't. It's simple. It's not hard. It's simple. The power is going to the conferences.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The power is going to the leagues. But when it goes to the leagues, I'm trying to figure out why the organization exists.
It doesn't. I just told you. For sale. We quit. They're done. I've been harping on this for years. Eventually, the big boys are going to go, I'm sorry. That ball is mine, and I'm going to take it. It's exactly what's
so
we
by
got
splitting
here.
To divisions, you ultimately think we're going down that road we all think we're going anyway.
I've been saying it for 5-6
I
years. It's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
The big boys are operating at a completely different level than Division II and Division III. Why would you think a rule that fits this guy fits the little guy? It doesn't.
Right.
It never has. That's why we've got problems.
Yeah.
So the big boys just said, hey, listen, here's the new rule. We'll create our own rules. And that's what they're going to do. That's not hard.
The next phase of the transformation figures to be the reshaping of a Division I that tackles revenue distribution, how rules are made and enforced, access to the NCAA's most high-profile and lucrative events, and just how big the tent should be at the top of college sports. We've been talking about that for years.
It's not hard, Wes. You could see this one's easy. This one's easy.
No. So anyway, we'll get to that down the road. That was news yesterday, but there's still a lot of grass to be mown on that deal. All right. Let's get you the basketball schedule for tonight. Pac already mentioned the ladies this afternoon with NC State and South Carolina. You'll be able to see that on ESPN. There's a doubleheader here on ACC Network. We get you cranked up at 7 o'clock tonight. Doug Sherman, Corey Alexander will be at Smith Center in Chapel Hill for Hubert Davis's debut as Carolina's head coach against the Greyhounds of Loyola of Maryland. And then at 9 o'clock, Tony Bennett and number 25 Virginia welcome the Naval Academy to John Paul Jones Arena. Mike Monaco, Malcolm Huckabee will be there. Nothing but net, kind of before, during, and after, if you will, our coverage of the doubleheader. And there'll be a women's nothing but net preview prior to the women's game over on ESPN this afternoon.
And, of course, you got heavyweights tonight. Sparty,
Duke,
Kansas,
Kentucky. Yep.
Duke, Kentucky. In between those games, the college football playoff rankings will be unveiled. So if you're expecting that tonight at 7,
nope.
That will not be happening. It'll happen right after Sparty in Kansas and before Duke in Kentucky. So it's go time.
Fuller's over here trying to pull towels off
you got that hokey towel over there. He likes that. He's got his ball. That's what it is.
Here's the ball. Right.
That's what
get
he wants. He's a ball dog.
All right, get the ball.
Ball dog.
All right, we're underway. Tuesday, show 498, off and rolling. 500 on Thursday, by the way.
Well aware.
We'll apparently be in coat and tie.
I'm going to be.
Socks will be optional.
Socks.
No socks.
And by the way, can I make a correction? I screwed something up yesterday. I screwed something up yesterday.
Okay.
I did. And I realized it about lunchtime.
Mm.
And we were talking about Clemson's inability to score in the third quarter.
Oh, gosh, yes.
No, because you might need this. This is now correct.
For Saturday?
Yeah.
Against UConn?
Yeah, you're definitely going to need it.
Okay.
Clemson has scored, I said, 6 points versus FBS. It's 6 points versus ACC teams.
Okay.
So they've scored 9 points against teams with a pulse in the third quarter.
All right.
Total. So just want to correct that from yesterday.
Big difference.
Not really.
No.
Six points in the third quarter against 7 ACC teams.
All right. On the other side, Pat Narduzzi.
We'll make sure to get it right.
Yeah. There he is. Coach Narduzzi will join us. Panthers, it's game week. Look at the old school Pitt shirt too, by the way. Pat Narduzzi joins us next. Pitt, Carolina coming up Thursday night at Heinz Field. He's next with Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Walking music for you. Chester Fuller, a little AC/DC. Let it crank up. It's going to be cranked up Thursday night when North Carolina rolls into Heinz Field.
Mm.
It is a big one in the ACC coming up. And with that said, let's go up to Pittsburgh, PA. The head football coach, Pat Narduzzi, joins us. The Pitt Panthers, and there he is. Coach, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm doing good. Just working on the next day. It's perfect Thursday, but it's a Tuesday. So our guys are kind of confused.
Well, no, they're not confused because they know Thursday it's go time. And by the way, I get a kick out of reading the transcripts from your press conference. You know what I love the most about yesterday? Let me give you the line. Kill or capture. And I said, if that isn't Pat Narduzzi, nothing is right there. Kill or capture. You choose. I love everything about it.
There's only one we'd like is the kill mode. And again, let's not let anybody get it wrong. It's, you know, It's either go after the quarterback or are you worried about containing him? And Sam Howell is a tremendous athlete, obviously tremendous quarterback. He can hurt you with his arm. He can hurt you. I mean, he's like Larry Zonka. I know, you know, a lot of listeners out there don't know who Larry Zonka is, playing quarterback. I mean, people are bouncing off him. He's a guy we're going to have to get on the ground. And again, we got to go get after him. We can't sit there and worry about containing him in the pocket or he'll throw for 700 yards.
All right, so therein lies the rub here for the old defensive coach, who is a head coach but probably still got a lot of defense in him. You got two gunslingers in here Thursday night. You got to stay in front of them, right? I mean, they're going to be trying to do the same thing to Kenny Pickett that you're trying to do to Sam Howell. Keep the guy in front of you because they're playmakers really on both sides. They go about it in different ways. But, man, two quality guys taking snaps, Coach.
No doubt about it. I mean, you got two quality, you know, offenses, period. I mean, you got two top 10 offenses that are going head to head, and it's really going to come down to who plays better defense, I think, because Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett are tough to stop.
What has your week been like? We were just talking about this leading off the show. Steelers played last night, Monday night. You guys share a facility, which is awesome. You have a Thursday night game. It's a big deal. We're into November. You control your destiny. A short week is always difficult, but does it get crazier when the Steelers play on a Monday night, or is that a non-factor?
I haven't seen them. All I see is Jaguars and all kinds of different cars in the parking lot. You know, they leave them there and they head over to the hotel. We really haven't seen them. There's been no conflict at all. You know, and there never is, to be honest with you. I mean, there's never a conflict. I mean, we got our fields, they got their fields. Mm-hmm. You know, indoor facilities, you know, they never want to go in it because their players love the grass and don't want to be on the turf. So that's not an issue at all. It's just time. And, you know, just, you know, kind of, you know, our coaches have done an outstanding job of trying to get the kids ready, the game plan ready. In a short time, I mean, we spent very, very little tape on the Duke tape. You know, you didn't go back and make many corrections. You know, each position maybe had 5-7 plays. It was like moving on to the next. But trying to get game plan for North Carolina on offense, defense, and special teams in a short period of time is tough. And then getting that information to your kids is even tougher.
All right, so the challenge then becomes processing as much as it does reps at this point, I'm guessing, right? The board work, the film, the identity, making sure you got your calls, things of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, it's all those things, making sure our guys know tendencies. I mean, you're looking at, you know, different things on the defensive line. What do they do? When are they moving? I mean, there's so many little tiny things that go into a good game plan, not just, you know, oh, this is where we line up, this is where they line up, okay, let's battle. It's a heck of a lot more than that for us. I know that. And there's a ton of details that we love to get. We love to have the time to get it done that you struggle to get it in, but we're gonna get it in somehow, some way. As coaches, we're going to find out what those details are that we need to get to our players so we can play at a high level.
From a health standpoint, everybody's nicked up this time of year, Coach. How are you guys coming down the stretch?
As, you know, as good as anybody, I guess. I mean, you know, we're fine. You know, we've got a good roster. We've got guys that can play if someone goes down. And that won't be an excuse for anything Saturday. We got to go out and play, and we got to put a team out there on offense and defense and some guys to run down on that kickoff better than they did last week.
You know, we say it all the time, and coaches say it all the time about the next guy up. But, I mean, your football team's a real good example of next guy up. I mean, from Bartholomew's emergence at tight end, a guy who I think you thought you had a real good chance to get something out of in his first year, who's now really excelled. I mean, I'll even go to Rodney Hammond at running back for you, Coach. I mean, that's a guy that's coming on and in the back third of the season could play a real valuable piece about what your football team's going to be.
No question about it. I mean, we've got a few guys like that. Maybe Matt Gonsalves comes in, takes over for an injured Gabe Hoy, and, you know, we're not going, oh, my gosh, let's make sure we run to the left instead of the right. There's no talk of that. It's like, you know, status quo. So, again, roster management, recruiting, making sure that we've got, you know, a good depth chart is important. And we've done a good job of getting the quality guys here at the University of Pittsburgh.
It's been interesting this year to talk to ACC football coaches when you say, hey, quarterback play in this league. Mm-hmm. Now, you're blessed because Kenny Pickett coming back, as you said before the season started, oh, my God, it's like signing a 5-star guy who can flat out play, and he's had a phenomenal year. But, you know, you just saw TV dinner from Miami a couple weeks ago. He's now emerged as a star. You get Sam Howell this week. He's still got a Brendan Armstrong deal working out. I mean, it's crazy how good the quarterback plays in this league, isn't it, Coach?
Pack, you're exactly right. There is no other conference in the country that has the quarterbacks we have in the ACC. You know, it's not even close, I don't think. I mean, every week it's somebody else. I mean, and you mentioned Tyler Van Dyke. I mean, that, you know, we didn't expect that coming into the season, him be the guy, and all of a sudden he's the guy, and he's playing at a high level.
In that light, we sat in a production meeting before your first game, and you looked at Roddy Jones and said, hey, Roddy, what have we got to do? What has Kenny Pickett got to do to be regarded as one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC, if not the country? And I think Roddy said something like, Coach, it's probably got to throw more touchdown passes. Well, he's done that and all that much more. And to the point of the kind of season he's having, and we touched on this last week in our visit prior to your game at Duke, I think he's kind of changed the game for guys who use that extra year. Maybe this year, the extra year, or guys who might think they're a second or a third day pick. And Coach, you know this. He's played his way potentially into being the first quarterback taken in this thing next spring.
He really has. And, you know, everybody wants to rush their life away and, you know, go to the next level. And it's not always the best thing for kids to do. And I don't know if it'll change the landscape, because I think, you know, that's what they want to do. They want to go 3 years. They think it's better. But I just know this, when you take your time and you do things right, Kenny's a thinker. He's really smart. He's got an incredible family support with his mom and dad, Ken and Casey. You know, he's special, and I hope it makes an impact on our roster. I don't know if it matters anywhere else in the country, but I hope it makes an impact on our roster. It's like, if I stay another year, maybe I can do what Kenny did.
Hey, I know you're not going to answer this question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. Because I feel like we got this kind of relationship.
Hey, get my coffee, please. No, I need a coffee for this one. I need my coffee.
You might need something stronger than
this.
Coffee.
Look, we're taking the coffee.
You might need something stronger than
Cheers.
This. Coach, so I'm watching Wes on Saturday. He's got your game. And I'll be doggone. They tackle your guy for safety. And I thought I knew the rule.
Oh, no. Really?
I couldn't believe they called that a safety. I mean, I know the guy got tackled back there, but I, you know, from week to week, I watch games, and I'll be doggone. Sometimes I don't even know what the rule is. So I'm just asking you.
Coffee ain't gonna be enough here, dudes. Coffee will not be enough.
EJ always tells me, take a deep breath before you answer tough questions. Hey, I don't know what a safety is anymore. I just know I'd like to have more cameras in ACC football. I can tell you that.
Well, you know, on a serious note, though.
Oh, boy.
I went on a rant the other day on radio, and it's not just an ACC thing. It's college football, and everybody wants to get the calls right. I mean, nobody's looking to screw something up. Nobody. Players, coaches, refs, whatever. How do we make college football officiating better?
Oh, Pat? No. Oh, boy.
I mean, is it do we make them full-time employees? Do you go younger? Do you have more cameras? I mean, you tell me. How can we make it better for the game? Big picture.
You know, you ask a tough question, because they got a hard job. It's not easy what they do. And I think the cameras help some, you know, more reviewable plays. You know, nobody wants to take the time. But if you take a peek at it real quick, you know, they should, you know, instead of the referee having to walk to the sideline to get to the replay, let's move it. Let's have someone jog it out to them. We got plenty of guys with legs that can get it out to them quicker. Let's get this replay, get it off, get the game going. But we've got to get it right. The officials have a hard job. It's not easy. It's bang, bang out there for those guys. And I wish I had some answers, but that's something we'll deal with after the season. We're worried about the Tar Heels.
All right. You gave me the Heisman pose on that one. I get it. You and I, with some free time, will discuss that
at
length.
Great. That'll be something.
Deal.
Real quick, weather Thursday night. It's November. It's Pittsburgh. What kind of forecast are we looking at there? I know you've already looked once or twice.
I think it's 60 and sunny.
Wow.
Even at 7 p.m.
Beautiful.
Wow.
Fall back and all that. It's good.
How about that?
Doesn't matter. If we got snow or ice, we're playing football Thursday night.
There you go.
We're playing. Kill or capture.
Kill or
Narduzzi.
Kill or capture. There we go.
Loved it.
All right. Be well. Thanks for the time. You're the man.
Thanks, guys. Hail to Pitt.
All right, Pat Narduzzi, head coach of the Panthers. Cheers.
I like getting him worked up.
Really?
I do.
I would have never guessed.
He's great.
Yeah.
Pat is wound up, baby.
I appreciate him doing it. Thanks to our buddy EJ Borghetti, by the way.
Awesome.
He's the best.
Yeah.
He and RJ, they're awesome. All right, on the other side.
You know, regardless of what happens Thursday, now Pitt wants to win, obviously.
Well, sure, they control their destiny.
And what did we say last week? North Carolina's got a chance to stick their nose in ruined parties.
Correct.
They already ruined one last week.
They did.
Short week. You said this the other day, and you were spot on. Short weeks are more difficult for the team on the road.
Absolutely.
North Carolina goes up there. They're playing with house money in some sense. Pitt's got everything to play for. They control their destiny, as you pointed out, in the Coastal. They've got Virginia next week. And that game feels very much like this week's NC State Wake Forest game.
The Virginia-Pitt game.
Yes.
It does. Absolutely.
It's the same game in the other division a week later.
And I made this reference yesterday on Sirius XM with Mike Yam and Aaron Murray. It just so happened to work out for the ACC this year that you're scheduling the backlogging of your schedule. Now, we didn't know it was going to be Pitt and Virginia. We didn't know it would be State and Wake. But the backlogging of the schedule has worked to where the Atlantic has a game and the Coastal has a game in consecutive weekends. Heck, we thought it was October 16th. Remember those stories?
Yeah.
Remember we were telling you in June and July, circle October 16th. Well, that was dust. But it works out for the league this year. You've got games in the Coastal, games in the Atlantic. Atlantic this week, Coastal next week. Here's the hook, though. Pittsburgh has to win, just like NC State you were talking about yesterday. While Saturday is big for NC State, so then will be the following games, including Carolina the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Syracuse in between.
Same follow for Pitt, who, by the way, finishes the season where? At Syracuse.
All comes together, man.
Yeah.
The chase to get to Charlotte is on, and it is, who knows, winding roads all over the place.
I mean, you can kind of box up some teams that are going to be the favorites to go.
Still got to win.
Still got to win.
Yep. Yeah.
All right, on the other side. Do you think accounting was hard?
No.
Huh.
I did not.
Okay. We'll come back. We've got movers and shakers in our version of accounting. When we continue, Tuesday's Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, we got football for you coming up on Saturday here on ACCN at high noon, presented by Subway. First ever meeting between the Huskies of the University of Connecticut and Mark Packer's Clemson Tigers.
We are going to blow them out of the water.
At 3:30, Duke, Virginia Tech from Blacksburg, Lane Stadium at Worsham Field. And then in primetime, presented by Geico, for control in the Atlantic Division.
Ooh, big.
Number 19, NC State. Number 9, Wake Forest. With Dave O'Brien, Tim Hasselbeck, and Kelsey Riggs. Live from Truist Field in Winston-Salem. Don't forget the huddle on site in the Twin Cities. Yep. Don't do Dewey's Bakery, boys. Don't go to Dewey's. We won't hold it against you. Saturday on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app.
I had a gentleman send me a tweet yesterday, offered me a ticket right behind the bench for that game.
So, you're not going to go to the bench. You're not going to send a ticket. You're going to be Packer, going to have access pass.
I'm not that guy. I am not that guy. I like being up in the stands.
I know you do. Your friend Mr. Curry, tell him you were coming to the game?
No, I didn't call anybody. I'm trying to convince Mrs. P that let's do a little road trip.
What does Miss P think about that?
She said, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, Heisman. All right.
Anytime I approach her, she's I'll get back to you. That's Heisman pose.
Probably the safest route.
Well, so far it's worked out. 26 years of
That's exactly right.
That's how it's worked.
Dave Dorn, in case you missed it from yesterday's show, coming up in 10 minutes. Great visit with the coach of the Wolfpack, headed to the showdown on Saturday night in primetime here on ACC Network. All right. Accounting.
Yes. Let's do it. I didn't think it was hard at all.
I'll go first.
Of course.
No change at the top for me. In fact, no change in the first five for me. Clemson is 6, up 1. Syracuse up 2 to 7 with the bye. Carolina up 4 to 8. Mm. Louisville down 3. BC up 3. Georgia Tech holds even. Florida State down 4. Virginia Tech down 3. Duke holds. There you go. And I look here. Let me say this real quick before we get to yours. For those of you people who want to tell me, well, such and such beat such and such, and all, fine. It's a long season. As they said in Varsity Blues, things change, Mox. Things change. There we go. All right.
So you had Miami third last week?
Yes.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
They beat two ranked teams back-to-back. I kept them there.
No, I get that.
Yeah,
thank you. They were also 2-4 at one point in time.
They were. Things change, Mox.
I get it. All right, here we go. Time for the Sweet 16. Wes didn't change anything in the top five. I didn't change anything in the top six. Nothing. Showers. Swiss, cold 1. Showers. State, 2. Pitt, 3. Clemson, 4. Wahoo, 5. Miami, 6. Nothing changed. The Invaders of the North.
Up 1 on a bye.
Happens.
It does. Things happen.
Team of mystery. You Things had a chance. Change, Mox. First and goal at the 2.
Oh, my God.
You could have made some changes. That changes everything. Didn't happen.
Djurkovic's back and BC's up 4.
I think Djurkovic on that team changes BC entirely.
I don't disagree.
Florida State, hey, you had 30 guys with the flu. I mean, you know, you're who you are. Why is North Carolina only 11? Because if I put Mac 7, he'd complain that the media is overranking his team. So, Mac, I'm taking your bill. I'm taking it right off his page. I'll keep you right around 11. What are you laughing about? Mac blamed the media. Say, hey, Mac, I'm with you. I'm going to keep you in double digits here at 11. Hokies, yikes. Hokies dropped 3. That's one spot for every point you scored Friday night, putting me to sleep. Georgia Tech, 13. Duke, you know who you are. You're 14, and you're going to stay there. 15, Dan Mullen's Q rating. What is he doing? I'm just doing that for the honor of Florida State and Miami fans to make fun of Florida.
Right.
All right? And 16 changed. I've changed 16 3 different times, but in honor of Dave Doran's comment yesterday on the show about the cold showers in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Nobody likes a cold shower.
No.
It's 16th this week in the Sweet 16. So there you have it.
Nicely done, by the way.
Yep.
What were the other offers at 16?
The other offers at 16 included the dead money, the $535 million that had been paid to coaches not to be there since 2010.
How about that story?
That got up there. Yeah. That was a consideration. The Pac-12 Foxtrot. The fox that got loose in the Pac-12 game at Arizona
State. At the Drew Brooks Classic?
Sort of running up in the stands.
Yeah.
That was a chance of being in there.
By the way, that is a little frightening. That a fox is up in the seats, and I mean catapults a wall.
Dave Fleming says, I believe there's a cat out there. No, that would be a fox.
No, that's
a fox, Dave. Also, fourth quarter comebacks was on my list this week.
Mm.
Sweet 16. The ACC had a bunch of them
yeah.
on Saturday. So a number of nominees. Every week, there's a bunch of them. So, but Dave Dorn yesterday talking about the cold showers in Tallahassee was like an antenna went up. Ding. I said, there's the Sweet 16 right there. So there you have it.
844-SAY-ACCN. It's Tuesday. It's 20 till 8, and we're going to talk to Bobby on Long Island.
Okay.
All right, Bobby, you're on the air with Packer and Durham. Good morning.
Good morning, Packer and Durham. How are you guys?
We're good. Fine.
Big Pack fan here. NC State has been wonderful on the defensive side. Tony Gibson has done a great job considering all the injuries that have happened. I think they're down 5 or 6 starters from the beginning of the year. Do you guys think that State will be able to contain the Wake offense this weekend?
Define contain.
Keep them to under 50 points.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think NC State is one of the better defensive units in the ACC. It's not where Clemson is, but it's
– They're not far
– They're not far behind. Okay.
That's 1-2 combination. I think.
It is. Clemson, I agree. I think State's in the top 3, and they've shown that consistently, right, through the year.
I think they're better in top 3.
Top 2?
I think they're 1-2.
Okay. Top 2 then. Bobby, I think that you've got some guys who have been in this game before, so the mesh RPO stuff that Wake Forest runs will not be foreign to Tanner Engel, to Drake Thomas. Savion Jackson, you hope he's back in the lineup this week. I mean, guys like that have seen the mesh RPO that Wake runs. I think that helps. Anytime you have experience against what Wake does and the unique approach they have to it, I think it helps. And I think I'll go back to this. Roddy Jones and I were kind of talking about it off the air. I think NC State's ability to contain that mesh is really important because I think you've got the personnel to contest things on the outside. However, A.T. Perry and Ja'Cory Roberson are playing at a level, and Taylor Morin, for that matter, Tupac. That's three major throw weapons that Sam Hartman has.
All right, here's the question. Bobby, I appreciate your phone call.
Thank you, Bobby.
All right, I'm going to pose a question to you.
Okay.
Last week, when we were talking about Wake Forest in North Carolina, we discussed 59-53. Is there any way that game could be in the 50s? We didn't think so. What did we get? 58-55. Mm-hmm. Remember last year, Wake Forest, NC State.
High scoring game.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
I will pose the question to you, West Durham. Mm-hmm. We're going to Switzerland. There is a lot more at stake this year as opposed to early last year, right?
Sure.
And I think their programs are in a different spot. Dave Clawson's done a great job. Dave Dorn's done a great job. Do we have a game in the 40s this week? Because I don't think so.
I think the real question here, and here's Wake's historic three-game span of scoring, 56.7 points in the last three.
So go to my question. Don't get confused.
No, I'm not. The idea that the game will be higher scoring, I think, will be limited by the fact, to me, the biggest priority in the game is can NC State run the football?
Oh, I think they're going to run the football.
And I do, too. Lyle Hempel's got his hands full.
I think
NC State is going to run the football.
I do, too.
And if they run the football, it's going to create a math problem in the secondary for when Devin Leary wants to throw it. And for me, the game will hinge on NC State's ability to run the ball. If NC State runs the ball, fewer possessions, you know how that works. I think you're talking about anywhere from a combined now, from a 13 to 15 possession game down to about an 11 or 12 possession game, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, I don't think, again, could be dead wrong. I was wrong about last week's North Carolina game.
That game begs for shootouts more than it goes the other way.
I know, but this one feels like it's got the championship on the line.
Oh, yeah.
I think there will be a little bit more of a tighter feel for both sides, fans and everybody. Everybody knows what's at stake in Switzerland Saturday night.
Right.
And this is not a September regular season game where, hey, we hope we win this game because it positions us in the league and Clemson's over here and we get that. Different deal. Clemson's in the rearview mirror for both these teams right now. And they know exactly that the winner of this game, man, you are in – absolutely perfecto spot. I don't think we'll have a game in the 40s, but I think it will be incredibly entertaining. Mm-hmm. I think it will be close, and I think it'll be tight in terms of, hey, every turnover gets magnified in a game like this. Every one of them.
From the Packer and Durham research file, folks in Clark County, Nevada think there'll be more points scored in Pittsburgh this week combined than in Winston-Salem.
I agree with that.
The total in Heinz Field on Thursday night, 74. The total in Winston-Salem, 66.5.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I think those folks in Vegas, they know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Not messing with them.
Well, sometimes you just say Clark County, Nevada, and it just...
I say Vegas.
I know you do. Rebel. All right. On the other side, our visit yesterday with the head coach of the Wolfpack, Dave Doran, will join us. Good chat with the coach. Outside of cold showers in Tallahassee, everything went swimmingly for the red and white of NC State. Coach D's next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Chester got a good spot right there on the Roger Goodell chair. Fuller's over here with his buddy Wes. In the back, can't see him today. There he is.
There he is.
A big boy. Appreciate Pat Narduzzi getting up early with us. Breaking it down. Thursday, game time. North Carolina, Pittsburgh.
That's a big old cup of coffee Narduzzi had, wasn't
he? He needed it.
Big old Yeti cup.
He needed it with that question I threw on him.
Yeah. Thursday night, Panthers and Heels on ESPN at 7:30. Matt Berry, Roddy Jones. And the coveted invite makes her return to ACC football.
With the number one Louisville volleyball team in her back pocket.
That's it.
Coveted invite.
Dave Doran joined us yesterday here on the program. In case you missed the Wolfpack head coach, we started by simply asking, in terms of Saturday night, that RPO mesh that Wake Forest runs, is that now the toughest offense to prepare for in the ACC?
It's unique. The timing of their RPO offense is very unique. It's challenging. It forces you to be patient in your run fits, which is hard to do. And then they've got great skill. You know, their receivers are really good football players. And it all starts and ends with the timing of that, you know, ball handling their quarterback has to be able to pull off. And they do a nice job with it. They really do. It's going to be a great test. And I know our guys will be excited about the opportunity of playing them.
Is it back to the old adage, though, if you're strong up the middle on Saturday night in Winston-Salem, it gives you a good chance? I mean, is it as simplistic as that?
I think that's true, you know, for anything that you defend. It's just a tough deal. Like, you know, you can put them all in there and take the run game away, and they got the 6'5 kid on the outside that's hurting people, and obviously Roberson's hurting people in the slot. But you can't let them run the football. I mean, that's if it turns into where he's got to throw it and throw it. We have a lot of things in our coverage scheme that we can do to help our corners and not allow them to be in a one-on-one matchup all night. So there's going to be a lot of cat and mouse in this game, you know, between their coordinator and our coordinator. It's going to be a fun game for the fans, I think, just to see how it plays out.
Coach, since you got to Raleigh, I mean, this is the game, though, isn't it? I mean, I know the ACC championship looms for the winner of this game in all likelihood, but really this is the game. This is the essence of, hey, when I come to NC State, here's what I want to build. This is the game I want to be in. I mean, this is it, isn't it?
Well, this is the type of game you want to play in. The fact that it's an in-state game makes it special. But it's not, like I told our team this, this isn't like the semifinal to Charlotte. Like, we got to win out to get there. So this is just the next game that we get to play. I mean, if we win this game, we're going to have to beat Syracuse, and then that's the game. And then we're going to have to beat UNC. That's the game, because we have a loss already to Miami. So, you know, we have to continue to win out. I told the team this after we lost to Miami. We've been in a playoff since that game. So, you know, it started with Louisville, then Florida State. And so we got to go on a 5-game winning streak to get there. And it just happens that we're playing the team with the best record that's an in-state team this week.
It's interesting, though. You bring this up, and I think it's a point that we got to go back and give coaches credit. When you're having seasons like you're having, you do have to go silo mentality every week. And I think fans and media and everybody kind of get frustrated with the one-at-a-time concept you hear from coaches and players. But the reality of it is, when you're in a spot where you are, that's probably the best and safest approach with your team.
Well, yeah, and I think it's what works. You know, I think I've already heard it talked about, you know, I think from their coach, how this is the biggest game of the year and this, that, and the other. Like, it's not. It's the next game. And to us, you know, this game's going to matter just as much as the Syracuse game's going to matter. You know, we got to win, and we got to win every one of them if we want to be in the last game of the year in Charlotte. So, you know, I think people think that that's just like coach talk. It's really not. I mean, you get into trap games, you get into looking ahead. Like, the thing I loved about this team from the start, one of our team goals is to stay in the moment and be 1-0, and that's perfect for where we're at right now for this football team. The guys all said it yesterday in our team meeting, like, all we need to worry about is having the best Tuesday practice we've had all year. And that's where our mindset is. And that's what gives me a good feeling about how we're going to play.
I always find it interesting how coaches and players enjoy the journey, right? I mean, there's going to be all kinds of talk, right? When the college football playoff poll comes out Tuesday night, you want to see where State's going to be. Where does Wake drop? There's going to be all kinds of hype about this game. But how did you enjoy the Florida State win? I mean, I saw your post-game interview after the game, and everybody was ready to jump on the Wake Forest game. You're like, no. I'm going to go enjoy this with my guys right now. So how did you enjoy it? Was it another cigar and red Solo cup? Or what did we do to have fun and enjoy the win against Florida State?
Well, we went in the locker room, guys were dancing and having a good time, you know, and we do our Law of the Jungle chant, and then just got on the plane as fast as we could. Unfortunately, we had cold water to shower in, so we were in and out of there pretty quick, thanks to Florida State's, you know, hot water bill problem. But, you know, we got on the airplane and flew home, and it was nice not playing a 7:30 game. Mm. We were able to actually get into our homes before midnight and sit there and talk with our families. And so for me, it was just how fast could I get home to Sarah and Connor and hang out a little bit and relax before I had to get up and start working on the next game.
Yeah, you got to kind of enjoy the bridge, don't you? And I've heard a coach tell me one time there's a bridge from Saturday to Sunday or Saturday to Monday morning or whatever the next time they gather with their team is. That bridge sometimes helps you process it, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, we've all been in this business. Winning is hard, and winning on the road, especially at a Florida State, you know, a place that has that kind of tradition, it's not easy to do. And you have to savor those moments. If you don't, all of a sudden you're in a 4-win season and you're begging for any kind of win. You know, the ugliest mm-hmm. win you could get would be great, you know. And yeah. So we got to take advantage of those moments as a team and worry about fixing the stuff the next day. And I feel like we've done a good job of that this year.
I want to go big picture here real quick. You and Dave Clawson virtually came in this league the same time. Both came from MAC schools. You've known each other a long time, but you've also been here for kind of the upshoot of ACC football, right? You've built your programs. You've created foundations. How good has this league been? How competitive has this league been? We may not have that team that we've had in previous years, albeit Clemson, Florida State, whatever. But from your perspective, how good has this league been as you work through your own schedule, but also looking at the years other teams are having?
Yeah, I was talking to Sarah last night at home. You know, to be sitting here 7-2 playing Wake Forest, 8-1 for a chance to stay in the lead. And when I first got here, you had Louisville joining the league coming off 11-win season with Teddy Bridgewater, and Coach Strong was their head coach. Florida State was at their peak, you know, with Jimbo down there, and then Clemson was on the rise. And those three teams all were 10-plus win teams at that time. And now we're in a season where we beat Louisville, beat Florida State, and beat Clemson all in the same year. And so it's, you know, something that you can see how we've raised the bar here in Raleigh and see what we've done at NC State and the consistency. I think we're 11-4 in the last 2 years in the league. And so there's been a change, you know, and that's fun to see. But there's great parity in this conference, and week to week, it doesn't matter who you play. I mean, you're going to have a one-possession game in most of these contests.
Boy, right about that.
Amen.
Competitive league this year for sure. If you believe in history, dangerous, right?
It repeats itself.
It will.
NC State hopes that's the case.
Let's go back to 1957. NC State, 7-1-2, 5-0-1 in the ACC. 13-7 winner at Clemson, 7-0 winner at Florida State, 19-0 over the Deacons. Okay. By the way, FSU still an independent back then. 1998. All right. 24-7 over Florida State. 46-39 at Clemson, 38-27 to Wake Forest. 2002, yes, coach it then. 32-13 win against Wake, 38-6. I think that was that Thursday night game where they returned the onside kick on the bounce,
that's
right?
That's exactly what it was, Phillip Rivers.
Yep, and then beat Florida State 17-7. There you go. How crazy is that?
Will history repeat itself in Switzerland?
What do you say, sir?
I'll give you my picks. Friday, 30-30, the very end of the radio show.
That's
what I do. 30 right. Losers in 30 seconds. Last right. segment on Friday's radio show.
Fine, we'll get Eric McClain's lean on a Tuesday when we continue. Big Mac, is he a traveling man this week? Do we know where Eric McClain's going to be?
He's going to be here Friday.
Oh, he better be.
Packer and Durham.
Right. That'd be show 501, by the way.
That's right.
EMAC joins us next. We'll get a look at week 11 in the ACC. And I bet EMAC's got a basketball thought, too, when we continue after this on Packer and Durham.